You may be seated.
Good morning. Man, it's good to see everybody here this morning. I know we've got a lot sick, and appreciate Danny leading us in that prayer. As you guys can see, today we're beginning a new series. And I really want to open this series up with a story about an older lady who had gone to the mall, and she was driving her big, expensive sedan up and down the parking lot looking for a parking place. And this went on for several minutes. Finally, she found the perfect parking place, and so she put her blinker on, and around the corner, a college student in a fancy little sports car coming from the opposite direction wheels in and takes her parking place. Well, he gets out of the car, and with a smile, he looks at the older lady, and he says, "Boy, it's great to be young and fast." Well, he goes inside, didn't think anything about it, and later on, when he comes back out, he finds that his little sports car is absolutely crushed. That older lady had taken her big sedan and had rammed his little sports car, backed up, rammed it again, and did this several times until his little sports car was basically falling apart. And when he came out, he was shocked. And the older lady, she rolled her window down and she said, "Boy, isn't it great to be old and rich?" And you know, we hear a story like that, and it's like, yeah, that's good stuff, right? I mean, we love it. I mean, if we're really honest, we love those stories when we see people who get angry, right? I mean, how many of you watch television? How many of you... Well, let me ask you this. How many of you would like to see a television show entitled Dr. Bruce Banner? Or how many of you would like to see a TV show called The Incredible Hulk? Right? Nobody wants to watch a TV show about Bruce Banner. They want to see a TV show about a guy who absolutely loses control. And he wreaks havoc on the enemy. I need you to be honest with me on this one. Why do you go to hockey games? For those of you who are sports fans, and I know that Paul, where's Paul France at? He's out this way. Okay, well, Paul, I know he loves to go to the hockey games. But for those of you who like hockey, what is one of the main reasons you go? And I want you to be honest, to see the fights, right? I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, that you want your team to score goals. I mean, yeah, if that happens, that's wonderful and great. But even if they don't, what you really go to a hockey fight for, that's what it is, is to witness that fight. Our family, over the last couple of weeks, we have gotten back into the Little House on the Prairie series. Anybody seen that? And I'm going to be very honest with you. Our favorite episodes is when Nellie Olson is just being nasty Nellie to Laura, and then Laura absolutely lets her have it. Right? There's this one episode. I'm going to show you a clip real quick here in just a few minutes, but I want to set it up. Nellie is acting like paralyzed. She's hurt, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's been blaming Laura for this. And she's making Laura feel so guilty about everything, even to the point to where she says, "Laura, I need you to do my homework for me." And so Laura's doing all this work for her, and then one day, Laura goes to pay her a visit, and she hears something inside, and she looks in the window, and there's Nellie dancing with one of her baby dolls. She wasn't paralyzed at all. And when Laura sees it, I mean, she like goes into a trance. She is enraged. She walks in the door. She grabs Nellie, and well, this is what happens.
"Nellie, your mother wants you..."
You get the point, right? That's one of our favorite episodes because we watch that and we go, that is awesome. Right? I mean, we absolutely love it when our hero gets angry and serves up some justice. Right? We root for people to get angry. And here's the truth. It's not always wrong to get angry. Especially when we get angry about something that's wrong. But write this down this morning. This is very important. Anger, even when it's right, can quickly become wrong. Especially when we become enslaved by it. Now, let me explain to you this morning why I'm doing this lesson and why I feel like this is so important. Because this is something that I struggle with. It's really been a battle all my life. And sometimes I let the Spirit control me more than my old sinful self. But sometimes I go back to the dumpster and I start dragging all that old stuff back out again. And I start letting anger control my life again. And here of late, man, that's been happening to me. I've been getting angry, and I told my wife, I want to talk about this. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles with this. But I want to start off by sharing with you some good news. You know, there are all kinds of things that can enslave us, and we're going to talk about some of these things in this series. Anger can be one of those things. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ came and He died on a cross and He rose from the grave, not just to free us from the penalty of sin, but to free us from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 says, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its what, church? Its power in our lives. We are longer what? Slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from what, church? From the power of sin." Listen to me this morning. We live in a fallen world. And one of the fallouts of fallenness is that there are constant opportunities for us to get frustrated and angry. And again, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you there aren't times when you don't need to get angry. But what I do want to ask you this morning is to think to yourself, has anger become a constant companion for you? Think about over the last couple of weeks, maybe over the last couple of months, and ask yourself, has anger been showing up a lot in my life? Have I been getting mad a lot? Have I become a slave to anger? And here's the deal. How we answer that question is important because all bondage is rooted in lies. Even as we began to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves those types of questions, and I know this from experience, I'm telling you, this happens in my life. So oftentimes, I lie to myself. But lying to myself, lying about my bondage, is not going to set me free from the very thing that is controlling me. And let me tell you, there are a lot of myths, there are a lot of lies that we can feed ourselves when it comes to anger. For example, how many of you have ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, "I just can't control my temper." I've said that. This is one of those myths that spewers love to use. And some of you say, "Well, what exactly is a spewer?" Well, really, there are two types of ways that people display anger. Either you spew, which means you erupt, right? I mean, you just let it all out. You just let people have it. You just blow up. Or you stew. You're not someone who erupts, but you take it in. And you let that fester, and you let that grow inside of you. How many of you would say that you spew? Raise your hand. How many of you would say that you stew? Raise your hand. How many of you would say that you're a liar because you didn't raise... Yeah. Well, here's what spewers are tempted to do. When they spew, they like to call it venting. You ever heard someone say that? "Well, I just had to vent. I just had to get it all out. I just had to let them have it because it made me feel better." And here's the deal, you may feel better, but what about all the collateral damage of those around you? How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. How many of you have had one of those kids throw up on you? Right? Maybe you're driving down the road, one of them gets sick, and instead of putting it in a bag or whatever, they just vomit all over you and all over the car. I'll never forget, Lena's going to kill me for telling this, but when she was younger, we had moved into our new home. We had new carpet, and she had eaten some shepherd's pie. And oh man, she threw that shepherd's pie up all over that new carpet. But here's the thing, she felt better. But as a parent, how do you feel? You got a mess to clean up, right? And the same is true for us with our anger. We may feel better. But man, there's a mess to clean up. A lot of damage, a lot of hurt. And you may say, "Well, look, Slate, you know, I'm just a person who's real." Right? I'm one of those people, I like for people to know where I stand. And you may put it that way, but here's how the Bible puts it. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. What's the very first word, church? Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says, "A fool is what, church? Quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." Over and over again, the Bible associates anger with acting like a fool. And here's the truth. Anger is our choice. Right? We can't say, "Well, the devil made me do it." We can't say, "Well, you know, that person made me do it." No, it's our personal choice. For example, how many of you have ever gotten in an argument at home and then the phone rings and, I mean, you're just enraged and you pick up the phone, you go, "Hello?" I mean, you turn it off that fast. Or you've been, I'll tell you, we've been here. You argue on the way to church, right, as a family. You know, you get into this argument, and you pull up at church, and someone greets you out in the parking lot. "How you doing?" And all of a sudden, you turn off that anger. And you say, I'm doing great, brother. How are you? God bless you. Isn't it a wonderful day for worship? We can turn it off that quick. Because the truth of the matter is, anger is a choice. In other words, we're not in bondage because we can't help it. We're in bondage because we don't want to help it. Because here's the thing about anger. It feels good. Right? It feels good to let someone have it. And in fact, when we talk about it to other people, it feels good even talking about what we've done. Yeah, man, I just really let them have it. Because it feels so good giving in to our fleshly desire. And so we say things like, look, it's not my fault. It's not my fault, which is very popular with stewards. Because if you're a steward, you like to look at yourself as a victim. And that's why you're stewing. I'm a victim. But here's the thing to remember. If we want to have a bad attitude, we will always find good reasons for it. And so write this down. Blaming never leads to freedom. See, that's one of my biggest problems is I can tell you, and I did it this past week when I talked to Julie about all this, and I want to do a lesson. This is one of my biggest problems is I love to blame everyone else. I love to come up with all kinds of excuses for why I lose control and why I'm not who I need to be. But free people don't let other people or their circumstances control how they react. Two verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, control your what, church? Your temper, for anger labels you, and he says it again, a fool. James goes on to say in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, be slow to what, church? Be slow to anger. And so what we see here is that our anger, how we react to people in circumstances, is really our responsibility. These verses paint that very clear for us. Be self-controlled. Be slow to anger. Stop blaming others for how you react. Yes, the wrong may not be your fault, but how you respond, how we respond is. And some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand. I was born this way. I love to use that. My father had a hot temper. My grandfather had a hot temper. I'll never forget. And I love my grandfather. I don't want y'all to think bad about him or my dad, but they had tempers. And in fact, one time, my grandfather was a big news guy. I mean, every time I would stay over at their house, my grandfather was watching the news. And I remember one day I was over there, and I walked in front of the TV, and he says, Slate, don't you walk in front of that TV again. And man, I was just trying to get his attention, and so I very slowly walked in front of the TV again, and my grandfather got so angry, he got up and he spanked me. Never been spanked by my grandfather. I got his attention. Wrong attention. But my grandfather had a temper. My father has a temper, and so it's very easy for me to quickly, you know, create this excuse. Well, I was just born this way. Here's the truth about anger. It's a learned behavior. But listen to what I'm fixing to say. Somewhere in the past, we learned that anger is an effective way to get our way. You hear what I'm saying? It's a learned behavior. Long ago, we learned that if we stew or if we spew, that you know what? We can get our way. We can get what we want. And so it's not about genetics, it's about agendas. But even if we want to stick with the myth, well, Slade, I was just born this way. Let me remind you that when we came to Jesus, we were born again. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have the capacity to have patience, to show kindness, to exhibit self-control and gentleness and peace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. In other words, we can't say, well, I just can't help it. No, it was a choice. I gave in to my flesh over the Spirit. The new person in Christ cannot justify anger as the only possible response. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says this, but now is the time to get rid of what, church? Anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. He says, now is the time. Get rid of it. We will not be free as long as we justify these myths. In fact, what did Jesus say? He says, you'll know the truth. And when you know the truth, you will be what? You'll be set free. So don't buy into these lies. Don't buy into these myths. In fact, let me share a few more truths with you about anger this morning. First of all, anger is a window to the heart. Listen, anger isn't wrong if it's produced by a passion for what's right. And we see that in Jesus, right? I mean, if you look at Mark chapter 11, verse 15, remember Jesus walks into the temple and he sees these people who are taking advantage of others. They're committing fraud and they're committing deceit and they're keeping people from engaging in worship with God. And Jesus got upset about that. Back in Mark chapter 3, I believe it is. Verses 1 through 6, there's another occasion where Jesus is, well, he walks into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there is a man who is sick. And the religious leaders are watching Jesus very closely to see if he is going to break their tradition, if he is going to heal them on the Sabbath. In other words, their tradition was more important than someone being healed. And Jesus got angry about that. Because here's the two rules Jesus lived by: love God and love people. That's what he cared about. And here's the truth: anger reveals what we care about. Jesus got angry when God was dishonored, and Jesus got angry when people were dismissed. But I would challenge you to think back over the last couple of days, to think maybe back over the last couple of weeks, and what I would challenge you to do is to ask yourselves, what did I get angry about? And I think if you'll do that, sometimes what happens to me is I begin to realize that many times my anger is misplaced. James chapter 4, verse 1 says, what's causing the fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the what, church? Evil desires that war within you. You see, I think A lot of times we're tempted to get angry, not because God is dishonored or because people are mistreated, but because we're frustrated. Someone pulled out in front of me. Someone took too long on my order. Someone got my order all wrong. I didn't get what I wanted. And we get angry. We get frustrated. You see, anger is like a smoke detector. It reveals that something is wrong below the surface. What's going on underneath the surface? For example, you look at Cain and Abel. Cain got so mad at his brother that he killed him. And if we pull that back, if we begin to look underneath the surface of why Cain got angry, what we find is a man whose pride is wounded because God didn't accept his sacrifice. Or you look at Saul and David. Here's Saul, and he's chasing David, and he's trying to kill him. And if you begin to pull back the surface of that anger and why Saul was so angry with David, it was all about jealousy, wasn't it? Jealousy of David's successes. You see, anger is usually a secondary emotion. It's not the first emotion that we feel. And instead of dealing with that first emotion, and it can be fear, it can be insecurity, it can be just frustration, and instead of dealing with that emotion, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll jump that emotion to anger, because anger feels much better. But here's another truth about anger. Anger is the door for the devil. When we hold on to anger, we let the enemy get hold of us. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down when you're still angry, for anger gives what, church? Gives a foothold to the devil." Now notice, the devil is not credited for making us angry, correct? He is credited for using our anger to open up a doorway to our lives and letting him come in. So we can't say the devil made me do it. Again, that's our choice. And we let that control us. It opens up a door. You think about Nehemiah. Remember, the walls of Jerusalem were down, and he was so upset because the people in Jerusalem weren't prospering. Why? Because there was no wall to keep the enemy out. The enemy was just coming in and just having his way. And the Bible says we're the same way. If we don't control our anger, we leave ourselves open to the enemy. Proverbs 25, verse 28, "Those who do not control themselves are like a city whose walls are broken down." But let me mention one other thing, another truth. Anger's like acid. And what I mean by that is it does more damage to the vessel that's holding it than it does to the person who it's actually poured out on. And you guys talk about this before, so oftentimes when we get angry, man, and this can be for those of you who are stewards, right? We're going to take that and we're going to box it up and we're going to put it over here to the side and we're going to hold on to it so that the next time I see them, man, I'm going to dump this acid all over them. I'm going to get even. But what we don't realize is that it's actually eaten through the bucket that we've put it in. It's poured out all over us. How many of you realize that anger hurts us more than it does other people? I mean, we get angry with someone, they go on and they forgot it. But how many of you would say that when there have been times when you've been really upset, you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't focus on anything else but the thing that you're angry at? But also, it's hard to be a witness for Jesus if we're known for being an angry person. That's one of the things that scares me the most about my anger. It's one of the reasons that competitive sports scare me. Because I am so competitive, I want to win so bad that so oftentimes I lose my temper. Because I didn't get what I wanted. And if I'm known for being someone who is quick to get angry, I can lose my witness for Christ, and that's scary. Again, I'm not going to tell you there aren't going to be times when you shouldn't feel anger. But James says that we should be slow to anger. And I want to close very quickly with two things that we are to be quick to do in order to be slow to anger. First of all, we need to be quick to talk to God about our own selves. We need to go to God and ask Him for help. We need to say, God, help me to see below the surface. Help me to see if my motives are really pure or if I'm just being selfish and I'm just trying to get what I want. Help me to see that. The psalmist writes in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. If we're going to get right in the area of anger, then we have got to make sure that we give our heart to God. But also, instead of saying something in anger, we need to talk to God and ask Him to help us stay calm in those types of situations. And God, who cares more about our character than He does our comfort, can use the situation to help Jesus be more visible in our lives. But then lastly, be quick to talk to God about the person you're angry with. And be quick to forgive. And hear me out. I'm not telling you that, listen, I'm not telling you to pray, Lord, please just strike them down. When I tell you to pray for the person, I'm not telling you to pray, God, would you just hurt them as much as they hurt me? Because God, you're the one that sends justice. I'm not taking this into my own hand, but God, would you just wipe them out? Would you make them suffer? That's not what I'm telling you. That's not what Jesus taught us to pray. In Luke chapter 6, 27 through 28, Jesus says, but to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And what, church? And pray for those who hurt you. And that's hard. That's something that I think only comes through the Spirit working in our lives. And you may say, but Slade, I have a good reason to be angry and they don't deserve my forgiveness. And I would say to all of us here, we need to be careful about that. Do we deserve God's anger? Absolutely. Do we deserve His grace and His forgiveness? No. But that's what He gave us. And so that should cause us to think about Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has, what, church? Has forgiven you. And here's the deal. When we set people free from the things that they've done to us, it's very strange. When we set people free, we in turn become free. Right? And so today I want to go ahead and extend an invitation. There may be some of you today as Christians and you need prayers. Sharon checks my PowerPoints for me and I asked her to please pray for me. My anger, again, is one of my greatest struggles. I get frustrated with everyday life, and I get frustrated with other people. And again, one of the things I don't want to do is lose my witness for Christ. And that's not just to non-believers, but that's also my family and my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want to hurt the witness of Christ in my life. And so I ask you to pray for me, and if you need prayers, or today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, let me tell you something. Through the power of Jesus, you can be free from whatever is enslaving you. You can be free from the power of sin, and you can be forgiven of all of your sins through Jesus Christ. And so today, if you need to respond for any reason, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.